Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. And don't forget to try the new Labatt Blue Light Seltzer Variety Pack, available at retailers throughout Pennsylvania.
And welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It is quarter number four, and we've got the return of Andrew P. Shea. I am Jim Galante, and guess what, Andy? We covered all of one question on Ask Ross. So guess who the winner was? We had one
question. That's a record.
We had one question that we talked about from Mike from Colorado. So guess what, Mike? You win.
And, Ross.
Well, you know, Andy, the question was about name, image, and likeness, and I did want to get Ross's take on the topic. And as you know, we're going to be talking about name, image, and likeness here in quarter number four. So you know it's not a 1, 2, or 3 minute topic. It's much more than that. And once we got momentum going, well, there was just no stopping it. But as I mentioned, all the way back in segment number one, I alluded to it. We are going to hit it hard this quarter. So much going on with name, image, and likeness. This is, Andy, let me give a quick background on what happened with name, image, and likeness. Actually, the states, multiple states, took the bull by the horns and enacted laws saying that the collegiate athletes would be able to use their name, image, and likeness to make money. And they were the first states were going to enact this beginning on July 1st of this year. Well, the NCAA, in their infinite wisdom, first kicking the can down the road all this time, decided that on June 30th they would make a ruling and essentially say, okay, there's nothing we could do about it, so we're going to allow name, image, and likeness. The problem is the different states have, several states have made their own rules, and the NCAA came in and said, okay, whatever state you're in, you go by those rules, and if your state hasn't enacted anything, oh, well, you just make up your own rules. So we are not going to have a level playing field here, Andy. Rules will be different throughout the country, right?
Yeah, definitely. It was the NCAA was hopeful when its hand was forced that there would become a sort of a federal law, right? That they would be able to lean on that. Well, when Congress wouldn't take that on and kicked it back to the NCAA was worried that the laws already enacted in states would open them up to antitrust violations if they made their own rules, right? Like if the NCAA said, well, here's our rules, and so, but they were already behind the eight ball because the states beat them to it. So their hand was really, really forced on this. So what they've done is basically still kind of kick it down the road, but say it's okay if there's a law already in your state, then you have to follow that law. But what, and it's not a lot of states, it's just, you know, several states. But the interesting thing was then they kicked it to the schools, which is, that is the interesting one. And that, you know, the schools probably prefer it a little bit because it gives them a little institutional control. But it's a wild, wild west as we start into this on July 1st, you know, 2021. And we'll see how it plays out. It's a very interesting scenario, but in the end, it's still a really good thing for the players. It really is.
It is a good thing for the players, and just to understand now, yes, we are waiting for Congress, and Congress, they always get along and come to a consensus, don't they, Andy?
Oh, yeah, they're bipartisan. They like working together. There's no divide between, you know, R and D and who's what kind of R and what kind of D. Yeah. No, they're really set up to do this well. Not.
Exactly. Right? There are differences there. So let's talk about it going forward. First of all, Pennsylvania is one of the states, and they just now, just this week, enacted it. And, you know, Andy, in reading it, the rules that they have in Pennsylvania, I think they were pretty well thought out. They have certain restrictions. There are certain topics that are places, sports gambling, alcohol, things, controlled substances, tobacco.
Right.
They can't go down that path. And they even put in a rule that said, you don't want it to be based on, hey, I'm going to pay you player X money so that you go to Penn State and play at Penn State. And whatever amount of money my business offers you, it has to be commensurate with the value, meaning I'm not just paying you because you're a Penn State football player. The problem with that scenario, though, is how do you enforce that?
Yeah, no. It's their name, image, and likeness, right? It's the players. So how you enact that is you promote the player, you promote, you know, if you're a local promotion, say, you know, a guy from Harrisburg, say Micah, for example, and Micah does something in Harrisburg, you have to promote Micah Parsons, a former Harrisburg High player, yada, yada, yada. You can't promote the Penn State. You can't overtly make it Micah the Penn State player. You know what I mean? That's the sticky part of it. It's you have to kind of wiggle it so that so it's assumed that it is Micah the when he was at Penn State, it would have been Micah the Penn State player, right? So I think that's just a little bit of a sticky marketing thing that you can't make it overt. It's just because he is the Penn State player. I think that's the assumed part of it.
Well, and the other part to it is, you know, what is the value of it so that
right.
You know, if we said we're going to pay a player to appear on our show and we're paying them $15,000 to appear once on our show, well, you know, that's not the value of that appearance. It was obviously right. to, you know, reward him for picking Penn State. That you can't do. But again, who's to judge what that value is?
Right.
Let's take a look at a couple other things, though, Andy, with this. First one, and everyone's concerned about, what will happen to competitive balance?
Oh, man. So I think initially as it's sort of rolled out here and constructed, it feels like that there's a bit of a home field advantage, right? Like, if you're a name, image, and likeness kid from the state of Pennsylvania, where is your name, image, and likeness? Where can you best sell that, and where is it best served? Is it going to Columbus, Ohio? Is it going to Clemson, South Carolina? Or is it, if you're from Pittsburgh, is it going to Pitt? If you're from a lot of other parts of the state, is it going to Penn State, right? So my initial reaction is this is a bit more local. There's a level of kids that are national, right? So there's certain players that have either played themselves or already national because of their status of being a top 10 recruit in the class or one of the best players in the country at their position, like that. And then there are those who have played themselves into a national level. But the majority of it, just in my initial opinion, is that this is more local than national. There is more opportunity locally than nationally. A kid can promote a business in his hometown, or he can run a camp and teach kids at his own high school and use his name, image, and likeness to make money from that. That sounds local, not national. You know what I mean? From that perspective. So I think in terms of early opportunity that we're going to probably or maybe see, just my opinion again, is this might be more local than national. I don't know what you think, but I feel that if you're a kid from an area and you grew up there, that your roots there and you stay tied to those roots. I mean, if you go to Ohio State, do you lose your name, image, and likeness appeal in your hometown? Maybe not a little, maybe not much, but do you enhance it if you stay at the school where a lot of fan base is, aka Penn State? Possibly.
Well, there's a lot of variables to that. Now, you know, Julian Fleming was in high school, you know, he's the big man in Catawissa. But going to Columbus instead of, you know, State College, if he were excelling at Ohio State, I'm sure that would overwhelm the fact that he's the big guy in Catawissa. The other part to this, Andy, is, you know, I believe most fans, their biggest concern is what happens to competitive balance. Well, you already have all the best players, or a good number of the best players, going to Alabama, Ohio State, and Clemson, and Georgia, and Oklahoma, if you want to add those teams in. So what will change there? They're already getting those best players. I don't think that will change. What I wonder is, will there be other schools who may have been down a level who will use this as the opportunity to step up? I'm thinking of, say, Texas A&M. They went out and paid a boatload of money for a coach. That's their alums who want to buy a winner, okay? They want to put their cash out there to create a winner. Will Texas A&M and schools like that, will they be the winners in this?
Yeah, you're asking a tough question.
That's why you paid the big bucks, though, Andy, to answer these questions.
Does the second tier, can this be an opportunity for the second tier to close the gap with the first tier, is basically what we're looking at. And, my initial reaction is yes, I think it is an opportunity, because it can become, done well and done right, it can become another recruiting tool. But, if you're a five-star kid and you're like, let's see, do I go to Texas A&M or do I go to Alabama, Clemson, or Georgia, or Oklahoma? You know, that's still a tall mountain to climb. I still think it helps close the gap. It gives them one more tool in their toolkit to close the gap between sort of tier one and tier two, as it sort of played out in the recruiting circles, for those players that are, you know, at the top, the four and five star kids, is basically what you're talking about.
Do you remember a few years back when Ole Miss, completely out of nowhere, came up with the number one recruiting class in the country, and everyone said something must be amiss for that to happen?
Something was amiss.
Lo and behold. So now, is there going to be the opportunity to do that above board? As someone said, instead of that money transferring hands behind closed doors, it's done up front, legally or gray area, semi-legally, and all of a sudden we're going to see somebody pop up to the top. It will be interesting to see how it plays out, Andrew. Unfortunately, that is it for our time for this week's show. Thank you all for listening, and be sure to join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fans are back, and so is tailgating. To celebrate, GoPSURV.com has a very special offer. For the first home game of the season, rent one RV and get a second one for free. A two-for-one deal. That's right. You can double the family, double the friends, definitely double the fun. Go to GoPSURV.com or call Mark at 1-800-519-8467 for more information.
It's time to get undomesticated. It's time for Labatt Blue. Time to get off the couch and on the beach, on the trails, on the lake, onto what you love doing best. Get in touch with your adventurous side. Get out the ATV, the tent, the sunscreen. Get out the cooler and fill it high with Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light, because nothing goes better with the great outdoors. It's time to get up, get out, get undomesticated. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.